Genesis chapter 2 is where we're going to be at tonight, and I'm going to continue for the next couple weeks teaching through in this idea of understanding yourself. And we saw last week that we were made in the image of God, and we also looked at to understand our body, to have a biblical perspective on how God views ourselves and how we need to view ourselves. And we looked at that particular aspect about our body. We talked about that. Tonight I want to talk about understanding your soul. Understanding your soul. So Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, you find your place there. We're just going to read that verse. Stand with me if you will. And here's what the scripture says. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And here it is. And man became a living soul. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for all you've done for us. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts tonight through the preaching of the Word of God. Thank you for the way you love us and cared about us. Help us now tonight. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, of course, we understand that I taught you this last week that as human beings, we are a three-part creation. Okay, man's a triune being just like God is. Now, I've a neat study sometimes if you study what's called numerology, different numbers, different meaning of numbers throughout the Bible. And if you find if you look at the number three, and you'll understand that so much of God's creation is in that three. I mean, for example, we have time, space, and matter, okay? You have length, you have width, you've got height. I mean, so much of God's creation is with that number three. And so man also, when God made man, is also in three parts. We have our body, we have our soul, and we have our spirit. And we're going to talk tonight about this part about the soul. Now, our soul is the part of you that will never die. Okay, that's the part of you that's eternal. Every single person, whether they're saved or lost, has a never-dying soul. All right, now, your soul is not, you know, this just orb of light that just floats around in eternity somewhere. You start studying the accounts of people that have died, particularly in Luke chapter 16, and you know what? Your soul, the man, the rich man who went and died and went to hell, he still talks about he had some type of body that his soul lived in, okay? So your soul is eternal. It's either going to occupy a new and glorified body in heaven, praise God. Aren't you glad for the upgraded model we're going to get one of these days, all right? I mean, hey, I'm thankful for what God's given me, and you know what? I'm thankful for the body he's given me. But man, we're going to get an upgraded model one of these days. And I'll have a message. I got a message I preached that's all about our glorified bodies. And man, it's fun to think about, okay? And but here's the thing. If you're going to heaven, you're going to have a glorified body. But you know what? People that don't go to heaven, go to hell, they'll occupy a suffering, never dying, yet always dying body in hell. Okay? And folks, listen, that's why it's so important that we've got to get the gospel out, because hell is a horrible, real place, okay? So wherever the soul goes, it's going to exist forever. Above any and every decision in life, you need to make sure, of course, that folks have accepted Christ as Savior. Why is that? Because here's what Jesus said, Matthew chapter 16. For what shall a man be profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And you know, when I look at the world and I look at these people that the world considers successful and popular, it's like, you know what? They're getting everything what seems to be now, but what are they going to give in exchange for their soul? I mean, folks, we understand that every single person, doesn't matter who it is, what time period they've lived in, no matter how popular they were here on earth, are all going to stand before the Lord and bow the knee and declare the fact that he's God. Every single person is going to do that. And I'm telling you, it's better to do it now on earth when you have the choice to do it than when you have to do it when you're made to do it, and it's not going to keep you out of hell if you haven't been saved. Amen? And so every single person has a soul. Now, we're going to talk about this thing about the soul tonight. And not only, of course, do we have body, soul, and spirit, but our soul also is a trinity. Okay? The part of you, the soul, is also made up of three parts. It's made up of your mind, your heart, and your will. Okay? Your mind produces thoughts, your heart produces emotions, and your will produces decisions. Now, I'm going to teach you some things tonight that I promise you, if you went to a psychologist, you'd have to pay him $100 an hour to get some of this stuff, amen? And you're getting it for free, all right? And so if you'll grasp these things spiritually, it literally can affect, it can change your life. These three things are strongly interrelated. Your thoughts, your emotions, your decisions, together they make up your soul. All right, so I'm gonna make several statements tonight. I'm going to give you some Bible principles that will try to help you here. All right, first of all, your mind is the key to a healthy soul. Okay, I'm going to say that again. Your mind is the key to a healthy soul. Why is that? Because how you think about something will determine how you feel about something. Okay? And how you feel about something will decide what you do about something. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, the Bible says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." So the key to a healthy soul is your mind. Your mind affects your heart affects your will. Unhealthy or unsound thoughts produce unhealthy emotions, thus produce unhealthy decisions. Whereas sound thoughts produce sound emotions and sound decisions. Now, what's the one thing you hear people say all the time? And by the way, this is a humanistic philosophy, all right? Here's what people say. I just cannot help the way I feel. Let me say, yes, you can. You can help the way you feel, okay? And that's a cop-out. You can change the way you feel about something by changing how you think about something. Because here's what the scripture says, 2 Timothy 1:7. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Okay, now hang on with me here tonight. I promise, if you get this, this will help you as a Christian. Okay, so here's the thing. Here's what our goal's got to be. In order for everything to be right, it begins with how we think. And so our goal must be to reproduce the mind of Christ. Okay, you remember the story in the New Testament when the demon-possessed maniac that Jesus found living among the tombs, cutting himself and terrorizing his community? Okay, what was producing this horrific actions in this man? Well, the devil had control of his mind. That's what happened. Okay, I mean, how else do you explain what's going on in our society today? I mean, how do you explain this kid that just walked into the school and without remorse shot down 17 people? By the way, I read this week when he was going into court, he was laughing about and saying he had no remorse for what he did. How do you explain that other than the fact that that young man, his mind is controlled by Satan? Now listen to this. When this verse in Mark chapter 5, when it talks about this maniac when Jesus met him. "And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed," listen to this, "and in his right mind, and they were afraid." So here was this man who literally, his mind was given over to the devil. He literally was demon-possessed. He had thousands of demons in him. He was doing things that where he had inhuman strength, terrorizing all these people. And then Jesus came along, took care of the demons, and then the Bible says he was in his right mind. Okay? When Jesus came, as a result, he acted different. He thought differently, thus he felt differently, thus he acted differently. Okay? And that's why the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Now, I've taught you this before, but the ultimate goal of the Christian life is to be like Jesus. And if we're going to be like Jesus, we must first think like Jesus. Okay, think about this. If I think about something like Jesus would think about it, then I would feel about it the way Jesus felt about it. And then I would do what Jesus would do. Now you may be asking yourself, how can we know for sure what Jesus would think about something? How can we have the mind of Christ? Well, the scripture gives us some clues to that. Not just clues, but tells us, okay? Take your Bibles, flip to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Now this is a pretty famous verse of passage of scripture here, if you've been in church much, and no doubt preachers probably preach on these verses quite a bit. But it's very important here, okay? Notice what he says, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Of course, the Holy Spirit used the Apostle Paul to pen these words, but notice what he says. "I beseech you therefore, brethren," so this is written to saved people, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now look at the next verse. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So here's the thing. If we're going to have a healthy soul, we have to undergo a radical transformation in our mind. Okay? Now listen, church. Christ-like thinking is the exact opposite of worldly thinking. Okay? By the way, you start comparing worldly philosophies to the Bible, you're going to find they're polar opposites. That's why people think we're the weird ones. Okay? Because we try to adhere to the Scripture, we try to do what the Bible says, and you know what? It goes against mainstream culture. By the way, you know what? That's the way it's supposed to be, okay? If modern Christianity was just like, and by the way, that's a faulty philosophy out there today. They're trying to marry mainstream culture to the church, and let me tell you something, it doesn't work right, okay? Remember something, Jesus is the Word made flesh. And so we think like Christ when we think biblically. And the more your mind is renewed by studying and meditating on the Scripture, the more you will think the way Jesus thinks. Okay? The pastor where I went to Bible college, Dr. Jack Hiles, he was a great man of God. He had a lot of different wise sayings he said. Here was one of them. He said this, "Remind your mind to use his mind." That's a good thought, okay? Remind your mind to use his mind. Okay, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Okay, and there's several verses, I won't go to them all tonight, that talks about how that the Bible can transform the way we think. That's why, as your pastor, I'm always, always, always talking about, trying to encourage you, immerse yourself in the Word of God. Think, read it, meditate upon it, study it, listen to it. Listen, whatever you got to do, get the Word of God in your mind. That's why it's so hard to make time to read the Bible, because the devil knows the power of the Bible, and he will try to do anything he can to keep us away from the Word of God. Anything. Okay? And you've got to make it a priority in your life, and you got to do it whether you feel like it or not. Get the Bible going inside of you, okay? You ought to start your day reading it. I've mentioned to you before, as of late, I've been listening a lot to the Bible. I've been, as some days I'll be working or something, I'll plug it in, and I just let the Word of God play and listen to it. I'm telling you, it's a powerful thing. And the more you saturate yourself with Scripture, the more when you encounter situations in life, instead of saying to yourself, well, what do I feel like doing? No, you know what you begin saying to yourself? What's the Bible say about this? By the way, that's a good place to be, amen? Because as you begin to live biblically, you're living, and you begin, you're living the way Christ would live, and you begin to have the mind of Christ. So let's talk about this, all right? The mind of Christ, all right? Let me give you several things. First of all, let me give you some formulas here, all right? Y'all like formulas? Those of you doing math, algebra, geometry, it's all about formulas, right? Follow the formula. Follow the formula. As I used to teach algebra, you know what I always say to the kids? All right, they're trying to figure out the math problem. I can't figure out how to do this. Here's what I always say. What formula are you using? All right, it's all about the formula. So let me give you some formulas. All right, here we go. Pure thoughts equal pure emotions, thus equal pure decisions. Let me say this. The mind of Christ is a pure mind. Okay? And our thoughts need to be pure thoughts. Why? Because pure thoughts produce pure emotions, which in turn produce pure decisions. Impure thoughts stir impure emotions, which then produces impure behavior. So the battle for a pure life is fought in the mind. Now listen, if you're going to have a pure mind in this day and age we're living in, it's got to be on purpose. You have to battle this, okay? Our culture, and it's getting to be, you know, well, it's not today, but it's going to start getting warmer, all right? And why is it in our culture when the temperatures come up, the clothes come off? I mean, it's unbelievable what people consider modesty nowadays. Okay, now listen, I can't control how the world dresses, all right? But I can control what I do with my eyes and what I do with my mind. Okay, now men especially, all right? We're made in such a way to where we like looking at things, okay? Without going further deep into it, and, you know, I want to be careful what I say, but what we see produces things inside of us. So you have to be very careful as a Christian man to make sure that you keep your eyes proper, amen? And you got to not look at certain things or learn to turn your head, okay? And because why? Because we got to do everything we can to keep our thoughts pure. The devil knows this, so he's coming after our minds, okay? That's why the Bible says this, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any praise, if there be any virtue, think on these things. Now listen, you got to on purpose think on the right things, okay? And we'll talk about this more in a minute, okay? So pure thoughts equal pure emotions, thus equal pure decisions. Listen, if you want to make the right decisions, you got to think right, okay? You're not going to make the right decisions, and the pure, especially in this area of purity, if your mind's always impure. That's why it's so dangerous about allowing certain things into your eye gate, okay? Your mind is like a supercomputer, okay? And there's things you put in, you don't ever get them out. Now, you can work on dealing with them through Scripture. I mean, there's things that you know, I remember memories I have from when I was probably just a kid, 4 or 5 years old, that I can recall just like that. I mean, listen, your mind is amazing in that way, and so it's important that you put the right things in. So pure thoughts equal pure emotions, thus equal pure decisions. How about this? Positive thoughts equal positive emotions, thus equal positive decisions. Listen, when you study Jesus and find about him, his mind was a positive mind. Jesus came to do the will of the Father. Nothing was going to stop him from doing that. He lived in the power of the Spirit. He busied himself in positively impacting those around him. Bible says in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, speaking of Christ, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that was oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Remember when Jesus rebuked the Pharisees? You know what he rebuked them for? He rebuked them for their negative unbelief. Okay? Listen, Jesus was here to proclaim the truth. He was here to do good. Yet the Pharisees always looked at him to find fault. Every time you see the Pharisees involved in Christ, they were always looking away to find fault in him. You know why they found fault in Jesus? Because they were looking to find it. Now, they never did find fault in him. Let me say that, by the way. But they wanted to. You know why they wanted to? Because that's what they were seeking for. Okay? Jesus said, you know what? Seek and ye shall find. And if you decide to find a good in a situation, you know what you're going to find? The good. If you decide to find the good in a person, you know what you're going to find? You're going to find the good. But if you're always looking for something negative, guess what? That's what you're going to find. Because in life, there's positives and negatives. And let me tell you how I choose to operate when it comes to people, okay? I choose to have a positive attitude. Okay? Now, it doesn't mean you ignore negatives. It doesn't mean if there's something that needs to be dealt with that you don't deal with it. But I always try to find the positive in people instead of the negative in people. Okay? Now listen, you got to train your mind that way. Because let me tell you what, we as human beings, we're bent on the negative. Listen, we like to hear bad things about people. Our flesh does. I mean, seriously. You could have somebody that does all this good for people and all this, you know that they're a good person. They do certain things, that the positive attributes. But yet, one thing negative, what's everybody want to talk about? It's not the 20 positive things they're doing. It's the one negative thing. Now, again, I'm not saying there's not a time to deal with certain things. There is, certainly. But you know what? Listen, we need to have a positive attitude in life. In other words, you got to choose to be that way. Don't be a negative person. Don't be. There are negatives in life, okay? Like right now, it's snowing, all right? It's March. It's almost spring. It's snowing. Now, if I wanted to, I could get up here tonight, and I could start whining about the weather, how horrible it is, blah, 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 blah. But listen, no, you know what? We're looking for things that are positive. Just be a positive person, amen? Don't always be one of those glass half-empty type people, okay? Why is that? Because if you think positive, then you're going to feel positive, and you're going to behave positively, amen? All right, let's talk about this, positive thinking. All right, positive thoughts produce positive emotions, thus produce, productive thoughts equal productive emotions, thus equal productive decisions. Listen, don't waste your life. Let me tell you what a productive life starts with. A productive mind. Listen, your brain is an amazing creation of God. Don't spend your life with your brain stuck in neutral. Put it to work. Think of ways to be productive and successful. You know, a young person or an adult for that matter who directs their minds to diligence instead of idleness will never lack for anything they need. Let me tell you what the psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 113. I hate vain thoughts. You know what that word vain means? Empty, worthless. Listen, use your mind in such a way to where it's productive. We talked a little bit about that when we went through our stewardship series. We talked about what was called creative resourcefulness. Listen, there's all kinds of ways that if we would just think and ask God to help us, use the mind God gave us, we could look for ways to be productive in life. Now, of course, you can use that thought process when it comes to monetary things, but also to anything in life. Be productive in your thinking, okay? Again, let me tell you something that is not a good word, daydream. Okay, what's that mean? That means you put your mind in neutral and you're not really using it for anything. You're just, you know, you're awake, but you're dreaming. Okay, it's not productive thinking. So produce productive thoughts. Why? Because productive thoughts will lead to productive emotions, thus productive decisions. Let's talk about this. How about this? Peaceable thinking. All right? Peaceable thoughts, again, lead to peaceable emotions, thus lead to peaceable decisions. Here's what Jesus said in John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Okay? And again, let me just say this, all right? If you're one of these type of people that, you know what, you're always in turmoil, okay? You're always fearful of things. Listen, that is not from God. Okay? I mean, you know, I get it. I know there's a such thing as fear out there, and I know there's things that, you know, we ought to be concerned about. But listen, I'm not going to walk around, spend my whole life afraid of everything. Listen, folks, that's not how God wants you to live. Jesus wants you to have peace. But you know what? You're never going to make peaceful decisions and have peaceful emotions if you don't think peaceful thoughts. Too many Christians are controlled by thoughts of bitterness and anger toward other people. Listen, if your mind is filled with hatred and anger and wrath and vengeance, there's no room for peace. Forgiveness may not change the person to whom you're offering it, but you know what? It can change you. Now listen, you can't control circumstances in life. And sometimes people have gone through horrible circumstances. I understand that. Okay? Sometimes people are unfairly victimized. I just read a story this morning of a pastor, I believe it was in, I forget what state it was, maybe North or South Carolina, and someone broke in his house, victimized him and his wife, and she died from it, and he's in the hospital. I mean, listen, that's a horrible, horrible situation. Okay? But here's the thing. If you allow bitterness and anger to totally control and dominate you, you know what? That's how your every decision is going to be made. It literally can take your life and take over your life and control it. Listen, don't allow those types of things to control you as a Christian. Okay? Think peaceably, thus you'll feel peaceably, thus you'll make peaceable decisions. Okay, now, those are the things that we're supposed to do, but let's talk about for a minute, how do we deal with unhealthy thoughts? Okay, because let me tell you what Satan's going to do. He's going to bombard your mind with wicked and unbiblical things to think about. Okay? And what we do when these thoughts are introduced into our mind will help us determine to be a successful Christian. Can we have victory over these types of thoughts? And the answer is yes. Okay? You've got to learn how to do battle when it comes to your mind. Because the devil knows that your mind is the key to how you feel, and how you feel is the key to what you do. Okay? And so listen, you've got to protect your mind. You've got to know how to think right, but you've got to know how to protect it when wrong types of thoughts try to come into your mind. All right? Let me give you some things here. First of all, recognize who is putting those wrong thoughts in your mind. Okay? Now, the devil is not as powerful as God. We get that. But let me just say, there's several times in Scripture where the Bible talks about that the devil can fill your mind and try to infiltrate things into your head the way you think. Okay? He's a spirit. He operates that way. Acts chapter 5. Remember the story of Ananias and Sapphira? Remember what Peter said to them? He said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Remember Ananias and Sapphira? They said they were going to sell land and give all of it to the Lord's work, but they lied. They kept back part of it. And you know what? It said Satan filled their heart to do that. Where'd that thought about keeping back some of it for them came from? It came from the devil. He's the one that filled their heart. Remember Peter? Remember what Jesus said to Peter when Jesus was talking about how he was going to die? And Peter basically tried to rebuke the Lord. And here's what Jesus said to him. He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Said it to Peter, "For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." So here, Satan literally put something in Peter's mind for him to say something that he shouldn't have said. That came from the devil. Now, I don't believe the devil makes us do things, but I tell you, the devil can influence us. And that's why you've got to understand sometimes that the devil can do that and learn how to deal with that when that happens. James 4:7, one of my favorite, what I call combat verses. I use this verse all the time to deal with the devil. James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Okay? God has given us power over the devil if we'll follow the Bible formula. What is the formula? Submit to God, resist, that means you got to put up a fight, and as you submit to God and resist the devil, he's going to flee from you. Think about it, okay? Ananias had that thought. Well, you know what? He thought he had that thought, but the devil introduced this wrong thing into his mind and convinced him, think about this, that he's the one that thought it. Okay? Now I'm going to get a little deep here, but think about it. Stay with me. Okay? Do you know when you have an evil thought? You know, a lot of times you didn't think that, you heard that. Let me say that again. A lot of times when you have an evil thought, that didn't come from you. You heard that thought. You know what that? You know who was whispering that thought to you? The devil was. And he's going to try to put, I mean, if you ever, you know, you're serving the Lord, you're trying to do right, and you have thoughts like this, is God even real? Am I wasting my time? Is any of this stuff worth it? Where'd that come from? It didn't come from you. The devil's whispering those things to you. And you've got to learn to recognize that. And you've got to understand, whoa, wait a minute. I mean, you know, sometimes I'll be driving down the road and praying, and all of a sudden this stupid thought comes. Where'd that come from? Get thee behind me, Satan. That's where it came from. Okay? You've got to recognize that, and you've got to learn how to deal with that. Understand the devil is going to try and attack your mind. He's going to whisper things to you. He's going to try to tell you things that aren't real, and he's going to try to convince you of things that aren't biblical. Okay? He will attack your mind. Remember how Jesus dealt with the devil. You know what he did? He rebuked him out loud with the scripture. And you know what? That's how you need to deal with the devil. Listen, he's not shy on his tactics. Don't you be shy on dealing with him. The devil comes and he's trying to attack your mind, and you. And because I'm teaching you this, you're going to recognize it now. And instead of just, you know, oh, I'm a worthless person. Oh my goodness, now I'm going to have to do this now because I thought that. And start freaking out about stuff. Realize what's going on. Hey, devil, quit attacking my mind. So I'm submitting to God. I'm resisting you. You got to flee, punk. That's how I talk to him. I got all kinds of names I say to him, amen? And, you know, it's like, no, we're not going this direction, devil. You know why? God's more powerful than you. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. I start talking to the devil out loud using scripture, and boom, he's gone. Because let me tell you something. You start wielding that sword right there, he can't stand against that sword. And God has given us the power. Think about this, okay? You know the devil can only win a victory in our lives if we give it to him. He's not more powerful than God. He's not. Now, I'm not saying to underestimate him. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be careful. The Bible says we're not ignorant of his devices. But listen, when he comes messing with you, you don't have to take that. You don't have to take that. Listen, we're warriors, remember? God's given us the power through him, again, not through us, through him. And if you got your armor on, do battle against him. Don't take that from him, okay? And so what you got to do is you got to realize the source of those wrong thoughts. Number two, you've got to capture wrong thoughts and bring them under the obedience of Christ, okay? 2 Corinthians, I want you to see this verse. Go to that real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I love these verses. Again, these verses are in my arsenal, okay? When the devil comes and tries messing with me, and I got different, you know, I got different weapons for different things, right? okay? I mean, I'm getting ready to go pig hunting, okay? And when I go pig hunting, I'm not going out to hunt pigs with my pistol, all right? I got the right weapon for the right job, all right? So when the devil comes, I got the right weapons for the right job. So here's one of them. I love these verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, okay? Look at verse 4 and 5, okay? It says here, for the weapons of our warfare, by the way, we're in a battle, aren't we? Okay, the weapons of our warfare. God says, look, you're in a battle. You got to have something to fight with. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That means, you know what? They're not of this world. That's what that means. Okay, they're not, unfortunately, you ain't going to deal with the devil with your Glock. Okay, it don't work that way. You ain't going to deal with him with your AR-15. All right, you got to deal with him with weapons in that realm. So God's going to give us some. But notice here, but mighty. Your weapons God's given you are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You know what we're getting into here? Spiritual warfare. Through the pulling down of strongholds. By the way, let me tell you where most strongholds are at. They're in your mind. So God says, listen, I'm going to give you some mighty weapons that can rip those things down. Now look what he says in verse 5. Here's how you do it. Casting down. Remember pulling down of strongholds? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity, you ready? Every thought to the obedience of Christ. So you know what you've got to do as a Christian? You've got to capture wrong thoughts and bring them unto the obedience of Christ. So when you begin to think unbiblically, you need to stop and immediately capture that thought and expel it from your mind. Now, God's made our minds in a pretty unique way, okay? You can maybe see something and it register, but it doesn't really sink deep. Okay, y'all know what I'm talking about, okay? Sometimes in order for things to sink deep in your mind, you got to start mulling over them. You got to take the time to really start thinking about them. All right, so let's say, you have this thought, okay? Let's just use something like, okay, I don't know if God's real or not, or God's unfair to me. Let's say that, okay? Something happens to you, God's unfair. If God was really powerful, he wouldn't have let that happen to me. And that's a common thing that people deal with, all right? So first of all, that's the thought process. The devil wants you to think that, okay? And so instead of sitting there and dwelling in your mind about how unfair you think God is to you, no, you capture that thought. You say, no, wait a minute, that's not right. The Bible talks about how good God is and how much God loves me, and he won't give me anything I can't handle, and everything I go through is according to his will. No, I'm capturing that thought. I'm not going to think that. God, I yield my thoughts to you. Listen, this stuff needs to happen, what's going on in your mind. And let me tell you how you do it. The key to it all is Scripture, okay? You know, anytime the devil puts a false thought in your mind, you battle that thought with the Scripture. That's why you got to know the Bible, amen? You got to use it, okay? You've heard me say this before. My preacher taught me this when I was growing up. He said you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can keep it from building a nest in your hair. And so the devil, boom, the thought comes across, you're aware of it, but you know what, before that thing can come settle in, boom, you blow it out of the air. And I told you how I picture this in my mind. This is this weird little mental game I play. A lot of things I evolve in my mind do with firearms, okay? I love it. But I picture this bird flying over. It's a bad thought, trying to settle in. I picture taking up the double-barrel shotgun, blasting that sucker out of the air. And you know what my ammo is? Scripture. And I use that. I'm telling you, folks, it works. Okay? Now, I'm just telling you, day and age we're living in, the devil's going to try to confuse. I mean, have you ever lived in a day where people are so confused about things? I mean, think about it. People don't even know if they're a male or female anymore. I mean, what in the world is this world coming to? They can't figure out if they get up and they want to be a woman or be a man. I mean, this is one messed up world we're living in. But even in the Christian life, I mean, people are so confused. They're confused about God. They're confused about faithfulness. They're confused about, you know, anything to do with the Christian life. I mean, here's the thing. I'll be honest with you folks, okay? It amazes me how many supposed Christians who say they're saved can't even figure out the basics of the Christian life. The basics. I'm talking about the milk stuff. We're not even talking about the meat yet. The milk stuff. Why is that? Because they allow the devil to influence their thinking. Okay, now you got to battle that stuff, okay? So when those types of wrong things come in, capture that thought, don't allow it to come into your mind, and bring it unto the obedience of Christ, okay? And then what you do is then replace the wrong thoughts with the right thoughts, Okay? Romans chapter 12, verse 21, the Bible says, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." There is a principle in the Bible known as replacement theology. And you know what that means? That means that when you something bad's taken out, you got to replace it with something good. Okay? And so if bad thoughts try to come in, you don't just get the bad thoughts out, you then put the right type of thoughts in. Again, that's why it's important that I've mentioned this before about listening to the right kind of music. Because when you listen to the right kind of music, it automatically, music's a powerful medium, and it helps soak the right types of things into your head and into your mind. Okay, because if you're listening to things that aren't right, and by the way, I'm not preaching on music tonight, but I'm going to say this: almost all the world's music have worldly philosophies in it, and you permeate that stuff in your mind. Again, you're going to become what you think, and music's so powerful, certain things sink in you didn't even know sunk in. Okay, and so what you've got to do then, you got to use your mind in such a way to where don't allow those thoughts to enter into your mind, but use your mind to think the right types of thoughts. Did you ever know, have you ever thought about this before? God made your mind in such a way to where you can't concentrate on more than one thing at a time. Now, sometimes your mind runs a little bit, but I'm talking about fully concentrate. I mean, if I'm going to fully concentrate on something, and I'm going to really make sure I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing with it, I can't be thinking about anything else. Okay? You know, like for example, I'm looking at this light switch right here. All right? If I took that off, there's electric wires in there. Now, I'm not an electrician. Okay? So if I had to start dismantling that light switch, I promise you I'd be paying attention. You know why? Because I don't want to get zapped. That's why. I'm going to make sure that that certain wire doesn't touch that certain wire. I mean, look, if I'm doing this and I'm not an electrician and I really don't know what I'm doing, okay, then when I'm doing this, I'm not going to be thinking about anything else except that right there. Okay, and God made your mind in a way like that to where you really can't concentrate on more than one thing at a time. So when you find yourself, the wrong types of things come in, listen, don't concentrate on that. Concentrate on the right things. Concentrate on the good things. Overcome evil with good. Now listen to me, Christian. You can win the battle of the mind, but you got to use the Word of God and the Son of God to help you. Okay? Now listen, in this day and age we're living in, you can think properly. Okay? You can help the way you feel, and thus you then can help the way you act, all based upon your thinking process. Again, so many different things I could get into tonight, but that's what's so dangerous about taking drugs that alter your mental state. Okay, now I understand certain people need medicines. I'm not against all that stuff. But why in America do we got this opioid crisis going on? And I mean, literally, folks, I mean, you start doing some research. This country is filled with drugs. Why is the devil doing that? Because he knows if he can hijack people's mind and not for them to be in their right mind, they can't do the things they're supposed to do. I mean, how's someone going to respond to the gospel if they're not even in their right mind? I mean, I've come across people before out soul winning, and I can tell by knocking on their door they're either high or they're drunk. When they're in that process, I don't try to talk to them much about the Lord. Because sometimes people will tell you anything you want to hear because of their mental state they're in. And you know what? The devil knows what he's doing, okay? That's why you got to be careful of things that alter your natural processes of your mind, okay? And so there's just so many things here. But listen, as Christians, you can deal with it, amen? That's what your soul is, all right? Your soul is made up of your thoughts, your heart, and your will. And remember something, all right? If you think right, you will feel right, then you will do right. Okay? If you're feeling weird about stuff and you're feeling, you know, funky about the things that you're supposed to be feeling right about, examine your thought life. Figure out what's going on up here, because this right here is the controller for what goes on here and thus dictates what happens out here. Okay? So remember that. Now, if you'll get this and you'll understand this, listen, you can have a healthy soul. Amen? It doesn't mean there's not going to be bad things you're going to have to deal with. It doesn't mean there's not going to be times of sorrow in life. It just means that, you know what? You can have control over that stuff. Amen? I think of Christ when he was in the temple. And remember, he upturned those tables of money there. Now remember something. Jesus did not lose his temper. Okay? Jesus had righteous indignation. He had controlled anger. I promise you this. Before Jesus went in and did that, okay, he knew exactly what he was going to do because he thought about it. And then when he thought about it, he felt a certain way and it produced a certain reaction.
Okay, and so let's make sure in our lives that we put these principles to place. Okay, I'm tired of Christians basing their Christian life upon how they feel. And the devil is master at that, folks. That's why not a lot gets done for God, because people don't feel like doing certain things. Okay? Well, listen, forget how you feel. Start thinking right about it. Ask yourself, what's the Bible say about it? What does God tell me I should think about it? Okay? And again, this is called conforming to the image of Christ. Okay? This is grown-up stuff here. Amen? All right? Sometimes on Sunday morning, we give out milk of the word, but a lot of times on Sunday night, you know what we're doing? We're grilling some meat. Amen? All right? Because we need to grow spiritually. Now listen, if you're ever going to be the Christian God wants you to be, the warrior God wants you to be, you got to mature up a little bit. Okay? And I say this for all of us. Amen? I mean, for our young people. I mean, for all of us, no matter what stage you're in your Christian life, we got to be mature so God can use us the way He wants to. Amen? So, if you understand how you're made, you'll understand your soul, you then can make sure that we operate according to Bible principles. Let's pray.